There we go. I think we should be recording now.
Yay.
Hey.
Welcome back, everybody. It has gotten cold and dark since the last time we played.
Yeah, fucking
Yes, I
A.
hate that.
But previously on Dungeons and/or Dragons, when we had a squiz at the bang,
Ew, what?
that was the title of the episode, the
Ew.
squiz at the bang. You don't remember the bang clank blacksmith and Shay saying that she would go have a squiz at
Yeah, I remember that.
No.
it. That which is British slang for take a look at.
Yeah, I think I forgot that, but on purpose.
All right, so you all, after having some quick role play scenes where Heyrin asked various folks about if where their magic come from and how they cast it, we found or not Heyrin, Roisin asked where people's magic come from and how they cast it, and we found out that Heyrin's armpits get quite itchy when she casts spells. And after Heyrin asked Kes if Kes noticed that he sa she saved his life and wanted to make sure that Kes would save her life in return. Still, I think a little paranoid about Kes's offhanded "you always kill the wizard's first" comment from earlier in the campaign. You arrived at Portage, this major port city on the Obsidian Rim, that is technically a city in two parts, North and South Portage. Which are on the opposite sides of an isthmus that connects two continents, and are connected by an incredibly large magical gate, that allows instantaneous transportation between the two halves of the city. You all docked, and before you left, Carswell took Roisin aside and gave her 75 gold pieces to buy a breastplate with, having heard about her getting knocked out in the fight against the giant shark man on the Wandering Isle. And so you all headed into town and decided needed to figure out how to get to Jungle's Edge. You had two possibilities. You could go via boat or you could go over land. Going over land would be more dangerous. Going by boat would be safer but would cost money. So you decided to check in with a friend of Tomy's who owns a tavern called the Eight Arms. The friend is the owner named Verthika, a lizard folk who told you guys that if you wanted to spend money, you should take a boat. But if you wanted to earn money, you should consider going over land, where you could work as a caravan guard and see the sights. And Verthika also told you all about Black Glass, which is a cool city, filled with these shards of obsidian. And you all thought that would be a cool thing to do. So after getting some dinner, you decided to check out one of the marketplaces here in town, taking a squiz at the Ben and Clank blacksmith shop, where you found
No.
a impressively hot orcish blacksmith, whose name
Oh
you
yeah, I
all,
forgot he was super hot.
both literally as he was, drenched in sweat, but also, in the good looking sort of meaning of the word as well. Also, you guys did not get the blacksmith's name, but I'll tell you for your note keeping, his name is Yuri, URI. Yuri showed you all a variety of armors, from the decadently gold-plated etched scenes to the more utilitarian, plain armors and everything in between. And Roisin decided on a suit of or a breastplate of smoldering armor. And when she realized that she couldn't afford it, Ula insisted on paying the difference in cost. So having a fresh breastplate and leaving the blacksmith shop where Kes and Tomy had wandered off and were investigating on their own, y'all heard the sound of someone yelling, "Oh shit, not again," and saw a bunch of undead skeletons ripping open cash boxes at the far end of the market. You went into combat where you fought these skeletons and zombies and ogre skeleton, along with the mysterious necromancer that had animated them all, yelling such things at the undead like, "Find it, you dunderheaded ninnies! Find it all, or find it!" And then once realizing that there are people attacking her and her undead things, said, wonderful lines like, "Who dares oppose me?" And and threatening to turn you all into undead servants of hers. However, you all are capable adventurers who are level two and or were level two, and were able to not only fight them off but slay the necromancer. And having done so, you met the guard captain, Belwar Jim Cutter, who is a purple-skinned deep gnome with short-cropped golden hair, very nice armor with her nice epaulets denoting her rank. And she let you know that this is the third time said necromancer and her undead minions have attacked this. Sorry, just cat toss. It was the third time this undead necromancer had attacked these markets, and that they could just burn the body. The first time it happened, the body disappeared from the morgue. The second time it happened, they put four guards on the body. Those guards were knocked out somehow, woke up with no memory of what had happened, and the body had gone. And so this third time, they could burn the body, but with you all being the adventuring sort, she wondered if perhaps she could make a proposition because somebody is resurrecting this person and she would like to know who, so they can be held accountable for the damage and the loss of life that has happened here. And if you all would be willing to watch the body and see who picks it up or see how it escapes, that she the combination of the money the merchants raised and the money that the constabulary has would be willing to essentially pay you 50 gold pieces apiece. And also throw in two potions of healing and two potions of watchful rest. So, having been in a tough fight and being feeling a little depleted, you all immediately headed to the morgue, where you set up a fake corpse and hid the actual corpse of the necromancer in a corner, and then essentially took a long rest, hoping, keeping your fingers crossed, that you'd be able to recover enough before anything happened. And thankfully, I am a kind and merciful DM, and so you were able to do so. You also spread some ball bearings by the back door of the morgue. That map, by the way, is up in D&D Beyond Maps for anybody that doesn't have that up. It is now the 6th of Sylvian. You're still in Portage, and you all have finished your long rest when you've heard a rattling noise come from the corpse in the corner. You looked over, saw a dark, shadowy hand reach out of the body and untie the ropes that were binding it. And I say untie, but it's actually more of just sort of like a slash through them. Ula came quickly, pounced over, and tried to use channel divinity to rebuke the undead, but it didn't work as this body gets up and disturbingly walks. And I don't think it did a good job describing it too. Like when you saw the necromancer in the battle, like she was very clearly alive. Even though she did have this deep voice that came out, like as she got bloodied and like was close to death, but she was very clearly moving on her own accord. As this body moves, it just sort of looks like a straight, like just a poorly animated puppet with just like herky jerky movements. The head itself is lulled to the side. Like as the arms move, it's just sort of a shifty, kind of shambly. It looks like, yeah, it looks like there is just something pulling strings trying to get this body to move. You heard a voice from inside it say, "Oh, this will be more interesting than the last time I was in this room." And that is where we will pick up exactly at this point. Oh, also, you all leveled up.
Yes.
So you. Okay.
I was just gonna clarify. I did use a channel divinity at the end of the last episode.
Yes, you did.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you tried rebuking undead and it didn't work.
Unfortunate.
Did we all wake up at the end of the last episode,
Yes,
or
you all
did
are
we?
awake. You all are
Okay.
awake. You're where you are on the map. And so, yeah, you've heard this voice say this. How do you all react?
I attack.
Are we just going straight into initiative? All
I
right.
think
I mean,
violence.
I'm not gonna ask a corpse questions. I'm absolutely not gonna do it.
Didn't I might be getting things confused. Did we hear this like deep, creepy voice? Did we hear it during the
Yeah,
other fight?
you
What?
did. After she got bloodied and close to death, that voice,
Okay.
her it, this th though that voice was a little more of a mixture of her voice, which is a little more higher pitched, and this deeper voice. This one is just pure deep voice.
Okay. Thank you.
I, Chris Fairfield, am not a good enough voice actor to role play that, but I just, yeah, that's.
Thank you.
Why can't I get onto our game?
Did you try the link I sent?
Yeah, it just keeps sending me to like the regular. Let's start with maps.
Are you logged
Okay,
in?
now
They
it
did that
works.
to
Okay.
me the other day. I think I closed my browser and reclicked it, and then it
Yeah,
worked.
that's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I signed in and it's like, which campaign do you want to create maps for? I'm like, none.
No.
Okay, so let's roll for initiative.
Which dice do I want to use?
Ooh.
Hey.
Very nice.
Nice.
No.
Okay, so what'd you get?
23.
Okay. I think I have to re-add everything. One second. Please hold while your DM tries to get his shit together. Your combat is important to us.
He's old.
He's old. I got a 17 if it didn't come up yet.
Okay. 20, what was it? 20,
23 for
23
Cass.
for Cass. Hey, Ren, what'd you get?
20.
20. Roisin?
Four.
4. Tomy?
Nine.
And Ula.
17.
It is worth noting that because I have the alert feat, I can swap my initiative with somebody if we want to.
And do you make that choice after
Immediately
seeing?
after rolling initiative.
Okay, so Kess, you are 23. Does anybody want to swap initiatives with Kess?
The only reason I would think to do so was if you guys wanted me to pop off a bless, but I also rolled really high anyway, so I don't know if it's
Yeah.
worth it.
What did you roll?
I got a 17,
Yeah,
so
let's
how?
swap.
Yeah, okay, cool. Let's see here. Sounds good.
All right. So I think the initiative should be there at the top now. All right. Puts up Kess first.
No, you, Ula and I swapped.
We
Oh,
swapped.
you did swap.
Yeah.
Well,
Sorry.
oh, that's okay. Yeah, da, 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 da.
Ooh, move everybody.
Didn't mean to.
And I'm like T minus 30 seconds from food here, so I'm gonna bless Kes, Roisin, and Tomy. Are you gonna be doing physical attacks or spells?
Probably spells.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Ren, what was your initiative again?
20.
20, and then 4 for Roisin. And tell me what was yours?
Nine.
9. Okay. There we go. So we start with I accidentally typed in 69 for Tomy. Oops.
LOL.
Fuck it, it's fine. I'll just
Does it make you reset initiative every single time?
Yeah, there's no way to adjust the initiative once the combat started. It's still they're still working on this. They're still working the bugs out. We'll start. I'll just remember. Ula, you're up first. What are you gonna do?
Okay. I would like to cast Bless.
Okay.
Mark that off. I'm gonna get Roisin, Kes, and if you guys are okay with it, myself, because I'm
Yeah.
gonna be doing mostly attacks as well.
Okay, Roisin and Ula blessed.
You blessed!
You're blessed. All right.
And then I don't have any bonus actions because no one has been harmed yet. And I'm gonna stay right where I'm at.
All right.
Cry a bitch.
What's up, Kess?
I am going to. I'm going to pull out my short bow. I don't suppose that hiding over here in the corner behind the desk, I have cover or
Roll
I'm
me
hidden?
roll me
Or should I do like a hide action, bonus
yeah.
action? Okay.
I well you had canonically done it before this had happened, so I'd say go ahead and roll it and see what you had gotten.
Stealth. 19.
Okay, yeah. So you are hidden
All
currently.
right, I will make a short bow attack.
All right.
21 to hit.
That will hit.
Okay, so this will be with sneak attack. Oop, that was the wrong thing. Disregard. 6 plus. Ooh, my sneak attack went up. 7, so 13 piercing damage.
Okay, the arrow shoots into this corpse. All right. Roll me an insight check.
I will roll an insight check. I rolled a 19 on my insight check.
It doesn't seem to be any sort of reaction from the corpse itself.
Is there like a shadow coming out of the corpse, or it's just
There
the
was a
corpse?
hand that came out to do the
Okay.
ropes, but currently, no, it's just this corpse that's just
Okay.
standing there like the world's worst Pinocchio cosplay.
Fair enough. And then I will move. I guess there's no real grid here.
Oh yeah,
Fifteen.
each of those 2x2 tiles is technically a square.
Okay. Kess is going to move over here and then bonus action hide again if I can.
Okay, roll me a hide check.
17. And that's it for my turn.
Okay.
Yes.
All
Yes.
right. Yes. Hello.
Just a question. I think Kes should have, you were at 17, right? Because you and Ula switched and Hayren rolled a 20, I think.
Oh, I thought I you get 13. Gosh darn it.
Sorry.
No, I appreciate you letting me know.
Thank you. I was concentrating on making my concentration sign.
Right, so 20, 23 for go ahead and take your turn, Hayren. For Roisin. Not Roisin. Roisin got a 4. Ula had a 23, which would have given Kes. And Tomy, we can finally put on her 9. I think this looks right for once. All right, so go ahead, Hayren.
Okay, sorry, to clarify, the dead necromancer is where the
Shadowy thing,
not
yeah. Yeah,
yes,
so
not the fake
you
corpse.
had tied this corpse up in a chair in the corner. A shadowy hand came out and essentially cut through the ropes. It retreated back into the body, and then the body sort of herkily jerkily is
Okay.
stood up, and that's where we're at.
Cool. Thank you.
But you do not see any signs of said shadow sticking out of it at this moment.
My voice. We're definitely choosing violence right now. Yes. Okay. I start screaming, but like it comes out like a creepy song.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh. And I will start my blade song. And to make it even creepier in this crypt, it like sounds like a haunting like siren song. But I am blazing, and that's my bonus action. And then as my action, I will
Row A. Which bolt at this figure?
Okay. That is necrotic damage, right?
That is lightning.
Oh, lightning. That's right. That's right. Which bolt?
Yes. Yeah, that's lightning damage. That is 15 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay, cool.
And so what does it, so this is what's the switch bolt look like when you cast it?
I cast it once when we first all met, but I have since gotten a little more control of it, and it's like a it just kind of there's this like a pastel-y like lightning energy, and then kind of like a la Azula,
Oh,
I just
nice.
kind of bring my fingers and then kind of like trace a line of this, and I'll shoot it out at the
Nice.
thing.
So, and it lingers too, right? Because you can reapply it.
Yes, I use a bonus action to deal damage
Excellent.
on the next turn.
And how much damage did you deal? Sorry.
It is 8 damage.
8 damage. All right, so it zaps into it. You get the idea that there's a little more of a reaction this time, Cass, especially you watching it out. And then you hear the voice just say, "My turn." And everything goes dark. And suddenly, like the only light in this room is just the pastel streak of lightning from your witch bolt that is connected to the body. To your surprise, Hayren, suddenly the lightning is shooting off in a different direction behind Roisin. Roisin, does an 11 will miss you for sure.
Oh wait, just to clarify, did this being just take Heyrun's spell and make it his own?
No.
Okay.
And then suddenly the lightning bolt shifts behind Kess. Kess, AC 16.
Ooh. What?
My AC is 15, so that would hit me.
You take
Oh wait, question though?
9 points of psychic damage. Yes, Roisin.
Was this normal movement or something different?
It does not appear to be like the lightning bolt isn't moving around the room. It just suddenly was zapping this direction.
Okay.
Suddenly it's zapping a different direction. Suddenly it's zapping a different direction. And then it's zapping back to where you think it should, and the lights come back on.
Okay. I only ask because I have blind sight, so I'm wondering if I saw anything. Blind sight within 10 feet, I should say.
Oh, that's a great question. That is a great question, Shay. Give me just a second.
Also, can I just say that for flavor, because I'm still big mad that I haven't gotten to use this feat, as soon as Roisin gets hit, I'm like, hit me, you coward!
Yes, of course you can.
I don't know if it'll do anything,
I also have dark vision, if it is at all important.
but. This is magical darkness. And blinds. I'm just trying to. Where's my.
There's an explanation for it on D&D Beyond here. A creature with blind sight can perceive its surroundings without relying on sight within a specific radius. Creatures without eyes
Okay.
typically have this sense, as do creatures with echolocation.
And start
So
echolocating.
Roisin, when it goes dark, and you see the witch bolt shooting past you, you can just with just that sort of supernatural, slightly magical fighter sense you have, just sense this large dark shape behind you, You can, and you get the sense of claws, and you get the sense of wings. So you know, and then suddenly, and you can tell it's not moving; it just disappears. Then, yeah, you see the lightning bolt behind Kes, and then the lightning bolt back where it should be. The lights come back on, and it's just the corpse standing there with the arrow sticking out of it.
Ow, my brain!
All right, that puts up. Tell me.
All right. I am going to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Also, this starts clambering. This is rough terrain because it's basically, it's herkily jerkily, like just trying to like claw its way, clamber its way over this sort of desk here, and over this stuff. It would provoke from you, Ula.
He's like, I just put food in my mouth.
Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you at that moment. But and just to really like it moves like a toddler almost, and just the like off balance and just sort of very clumsy, slow moving.
Okay, I have a above table question.
You're muted, Caitlin.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead with your question, and then I'll go about mine.
So we are attacking a thing that we can't see that is possessing the body.
Sorry, what was the question? Could you say that again?
So we are attacking a thing that we can't see that is possessing the body?
Correct. That seems to be
okay.
The thing.
Okay. So, oh, all right.
Well, or you're attacking the body, I guess is the...
Yeah, so we're attacking the body. So what we're aiming at, if we hit the body, we hit the thing.
Seems like
if it's a creature we can see, then
yes, creature you can see spells.
Okay,
this would yeah. I'm not gonna dick you out of that.
All right, Caitlin. But if it's this lightning attack, that's not a creature we can see unless it's Roisin, right?
Oh, like during in the dark.
Yeah.
Yes, you were only Roisin was able to see it in the dark. That's correct.
Wow. Well, it's my turn. It's not my turn. It's reaction, so I can't use True Strike, right?
Unless you have Warcaster.
I do not.
Then, yeah, just a regular melee attack.
Okay. That's unfortunate.
Also, I really, what's the second card on your head, Joe? Oh, Blade Song.
Adorable.
That's cute.
I fucking love it. I am going to, does this body look, it, you said it's stumbly and not really all together, right?
The final, like, it doesn't seem that whatever it is, like, it seems to be having a hard time ambulating this corpse. Yes.
Okay. So probably we're going to see what happens. Can I grapple as a reaction?
That's an attack, I believe. Yes.
I would like to try and grapple whatever the fuck this is. This is a hot plus zero. So this might be a really bad idea. Do I have athletics? No. I can't use acrobatics. It has to be athletics if I'm attacking, right?
Good question. I'm looking.
It doesn't even matter. Don't worry about it. I wasted that reaction.
Oh, you make an unarmed strike.
Well, then it'd be plus two. I don't suppose they rolled worse than a five.
Five's your total?
Yeah.
Five's not going to hit.
Waste! That's what I did.
Heck, I mean, you tried.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than nothing. All right, Tomi, your turn.
Okay. Double check how far away I am. Okay. Tomi is going to put her hands together, and when she pulls them apart, the tips of her fingers kind of turn blue, and there's a white energy in it.
Ooh.
And she's going to throw this ball of energy at the necromancer and cast Sorcerer's Burst with cold damage. And so that is... Ooh, natural 20.
Nice.
So that hits 26.
Let's go.
I need D8. Where are you, guys? Oh, there you are. Okay. That's a 7. Wait. No, that's a 1. It's tilted slightly. Nope, that's definitely a 1. Okay, 1 for damage. And that's it.
Oh, did you add your bless to your attack, Caitlin?
Ooh. I did not. Also, did you roll 2 die, Amanda? For your damage?
No, I don't do that.
You got a nat 20, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Good call out.
6 damage.
Nice. Yeah.
My total goes up to a total of 7.
Woo!
That will still miss.
No, I'm not surprised.
So, I mean, I was actually looking for an 8. I feel bad, but Roisin.
I shall run up. I believe I can. Yes. Dun, 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 dun. And then I will cast Booming Blade to try to hit.
Okay.
Oh, man. It went from a 17 to a 7.
No.
I imagine a 13. Oh, wait. Bless.
A 13's going to hit.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking for an 8 on these hits.
Oh, sweet. True enough.
Sweet. Okay. Thank you. And then that's a 8. I know what that looks like. Ooh. That's great. I roll a 1. So 5 damage. And the target is sheathed in a booming energy until the start of my next turn.
Mm-hmm.
If it moves willingly 5 feet or more.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, it takes 1d8 thunder damage.
Okay.
And bonus action, I will attack with my offhand.
Okay.
Excuse me again. Even more, even higher. And that would be just 4.
Which limb would you like to have cut off?
Ooh. A leg. Mm. Oh no. Well, yeah, a leg.
I like it.
You slice a leg off, and the voice just says, "Vexing."
I mean, if you can't find it, piss it off enough and it'll find you.
It says, I will have to find a new home.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Puts up. Ula.
So this body is just a vessel. Can I do a perception check for whatever the fuck this thing is? Or do I think it's actually in the body?
It'd be a religion check.
Fuck yeah, man. Let's do that.
Do I have religion?
I'm not smart. I fight. I don't have religion. I have 0 to religion.
Hey, not every cleric, you know, studying in books.
not a book cleric. That's a solid 10, my friends.
You would gather that this is probably some sort of demon.
Hmm. Okay. Some sort of demon.
Mm-hmm.
And is it pretty dark in here?
No, you guys have it nicely lit. So it's not like dim light or anything like that.
Okay. But it was still able to cast magical darkness.
You didn't see it cast a spell, but yes, it did make it dark for a little less than 6 seconds.
Okay. Well, we'll see how this goes. I'll cast the True Strike and see how that goes.
You're gonna move up behind it?
Oh, yes. Apologies.
No worries.
Oh, thank you. So which of these dice is going to be nice to me? Not that one. We're striking out today. Although you said it was an 8 to hit, so that is actually an 8.
8 will hit.
So that is 8. Ooh. So that's 8 damage.
And it's all radiant?
Yes. Just double check. And it's magical damage because my weapon is magical, if that matters. And the first time you hit a creature with a melee attack each turn, that creature can't make opportunity attacks until the start of its next turn.
Nope.
You gave me nice things. And it is radiant, yes.
Okay.
Crap.
Oh, all right.
That's what I can do. And I mean, nobody's like really low in health, right?
I don't think anyone's taken... I guess Kes took a little damage, but I don't think he's too bad. Y'all are third level now. You all are tanks compared to what you were a couple sessions ago. All right.
I mean, that much is true.
Compared to a couple sessions ago, yeah.
All right. Puts up Payrin.
Did Ula say anything about it being a demon? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I will definitely say. Yeah. So this is like some sort of demon or something. It's really fucking weird, but I didn't study much in school. We didn't have schools.
Yeah, it's definitely got like some wings and claws and shit.
Creepy. I get like, I'm 5 feet away, so I just lean in and I go, creepy motherfucker. Directly to the corpse.
It's probably hard having books under the ocean.
There are books. They do make books. I just...
Hey, Ren, your turn.
I would be like, hey, there are books. Also, everyone's like, ew, gross, demon. And he's like, oh.
You've been reading too many enemy to lover books. You're like, I can fix him.
Exactly.
Why?
Like, wait, I can fix it.
Or oh,
fix
God.
Would it take, like, my action or anything to try to see if I can get this demon out?
Roll me a religion check, and that will not be an action.
Okay. 19.
For demons, you know that things that can bind them are iron and salt. So if you could trap him in a ring of salt, or if you get iron chains around him, that would stop him from.
We can chain him. I mean, we can chain him.
Stop.
I think that might be the episode title right there.
Oh, no. Found it.
What? How? Questions. With the manacles, I, for some reason, am carrying around... be made of iron.
We kept manacles from the ship, didn't we?
I think someone has manacles. I also have
those. I think would be iron. I can't think of any reason they wouldn't be.
Okay. Probably easier than salt. Would it be like if I put it on the Necromancer. Would I know if like that would bind the demon once? Or
You think,
would
yeah,
that just
you
be
think if
like
you would say with your 19 religion, yeah, that if you got the chains around the necromancer, that would probably trap the demon inside of it. Yeah.
okay. Okay, I will take out the manacles then, and I'm gonna go over and right now my speed is 40, so I think I can get over here. Can
Oh yeah,
I?
it's a small room.
Okay, can I try to manacle?
Yeah, I'll call this a grapple check.
Oh gosh, okay. Do I just roll?
Make an attack.
With my strength.
Yes.
Okay, I rolled an 18.
Hey, nice.
Yeah. Is that an unarmed strike? Is that what you said?
Sorry, I just remembered where I finally remembered where I put this damn thing.
Is that an unarmed strike or is that just my strength?
Unarmed strike. So yeah, just add your I think strength or dex.
Great. I don't know what this, why it's a plus one, but it's a 19.
Okay. So that will hit. And then
What are you doing?
okay, using it. All right, so I'll say, yeah, I'll say that you've grappled him, and you've got the chains kind of like it's a small halfling, so you're able to like essentially kind of grab them and like wrap the chains around them, but you are holding on to them right now.
Okay.
Okay, puts up Kess.
Sorry, do I still have a bonus action or is that
Oh
my turn?
yeah, no, you still have a bonus action.
If I were to bolt them right now, would I also get damaged?
No, ooh, no, no, I'd say no.
Okay, then I'm going to just continue my witch bolt. It's still just buzzing in my hand. And that just automatically does 3 damage of lightning damage. And I'll be like, oh, do you feel that spark?
Wow.
And then I'll just.
It just says you are quite perturbing. Puts
Thank you.
guess.
Okay. Does my shark tooth ne necklace indicate to me that this target is bloodied?
It does not.
Okay. And it just hit me, so I don't know if I'm hidden from it, but I'll still try to take an attack, and you can tell me if I have advantage on it or not.
Okay. And I'll say yes, you do.
Okay, awesome. Short bow, 16 to hit.
Plus, plus.
Yeah, you're looking for
I
an
know you.
eight.
So this will be sneak attack. Five plus. Ooh, double sixes, 12, so 17 points of piercing damage.
Nice.
All right. Like your arrow goes straight through an eye of the body, and it's just sticking out of the head.
Okay. Guess we'll move. I think down to here and then bonus action hide again. 21. And that'll be it. Careful, that thing can hurt your brain.
I need Roisin, Hayren, and Ula to all make a wisdom saving throw.
Uh-oh.
Oh, good wisdom.
Who's gonna get
Nat 20,
possessed?
And don't forget, Roisin, that you also have Bless.
Okay. 22.
Okay. So far, so good. Hey, Ren.
9.
Oh, no! Silver. No, like silvery bars doesn't work that way.
Wait.
Make it worse.
I mean, you're kind of getting what you want.
Either way, I'm getting what I want.
All right. All right. Hey, Ren, you kind of fall slack for a second. You're incapacitated, and you feel yourself starting to go to sleep.
Okay.
But I would say that since you're incapacitated, you can't maintain a grapple, and so the chains slip off. Fortunately, that was its action. So none of y'all are getting possessed right now. And it's only got one leg left. So, yeah, it is in a bit of a bind here.
Well, no, it's specifically unbound
right now. give yourself some inspiration there. Oh, wait, you already have it. Everybody...
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, everybody gets inspiration at the start of every session. And so it's going to kind of hop back on one foot against this wall and then literally just fall over to the ground because it has no balance. And so it's prone.
Oh, wait, it moved.
Right? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it'll take some damage from your booming blade. That's absolutely correct.
I think was it 5 feet or more?
It did move 5 feet, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's just a D8, I think. Let me double check. Ooh, but I rolled way better than when I actually attacked. Yeah, just a D8, and I got a 7.
Okay.
I got a 7.
And it's going to say,
"We can talk about this."
Huh.
Puts up Tomy.
All right, I'm going to hold a chromatic orb for its next aggressive action, first level. Okay. And I'm going to say, you want to talk about it? You think you have something to offer us?
It's going to reply,
"I have plenty to offer. You need but to ask."
Puts up Roisin.
Deals with demons seems like a bad idea.
I actually feel like that was in character for Ula.
Yeah. Would I know anything about demons?
Roll me a religion check.
All right. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay. Let me just check a little feature I have, but that's a 20. If that fails, I think I can do something. Where the fuck is it? Yes. If I fail it, I can roll a d10.
What'd you get?
Fuck ass 20.
Fuck ass 20. 20. I'll answer any three questions you ask about demons, and I'll answer them honestly.
Okay. Okay. How does one send a demon out of this realm? Like, what's the normal, like, getting rid of them?
Slaying them in this realm doesn't actually kill them. It just sends them back to their realm. You can also banish them. And there's also certain arcane rituals to both summon and banish them, though you would also know that that's probably not anything that you or anybody in this room knows how to do.
Okay. Then would I know, like, if it's possessing a person and we kill the person, would we then have to fight, like, the entity of the demon as well? Or
yes, you would gather that it is probably hiding in this person because it protects them.
Okay.
You know, for example, it is far more vulnerable to whatever you're throwing at it outside of said body.
Okay. And then the chains were to keep it in the body, or
yes,
or what? Okay. Because if it's in the body with the chains on,
it can't leave.
It can't leave. So when we kill the body,
if you destroy the body while it's in there with the chains on, you're actually not sure what would happen. Okay. Maybe it would kill it, or maybe it would then you'd have its true form bound by the chains. Unsure.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Does that count as any action or anything?
No.
Okay. Could I grab the manacles and try to grapple it with
my... Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I will do that. And I just roll a...
Unarmed strike, yep.
Unarmed strike. Okay, perfect. Thank you, thank you. Which dice do I want to use? Die. Okay. That's only a... Oh, wait. Does bless count for that?
Yeah. Because it's an attack.
Okay. Thank you, thank you. That's a 21.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you needed an 8.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Duh.
This body is not very dexterous, or it is not doing well. In fact, you've technically had advantage on it because it's prone. So,
oh yeah. I don't think I have any bonus actions that I can do if I'm grappling. So, tis my turn. Thank you.
All right. So you've got this thing wrapped in chains again. You're holding on to it with these chains. Wrapped around its tiny halfling form. Or was it halfling or halfling? Yeah, halfling. I was like, halfling or gnome? No, halfling. Ula, you're up. Guard captain.
I was a gnome. Will attack it.
Okay.
True strike.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker, that's a 19. I know I don't need it, but it still feels good.
Yeah.
8 plus... That's 9 radiant damage. Not too shabby. That's it. That's all I can do.
Okay. Hey, Ren, you're up.
Am I incapacitated still?
Oh, that's right.
Is there anything I can do about that?
You could have, oh, sorry, yes, you could have spent an action to rouse her out of it.
Not a bonus action, though?
No.
What if both Ula and I spend some time wiggling her with our bonus actions?
I give her a slight tap. Or she gives her a slight tap.
You know what? Sure, I'll allow it. Why not?
Yes. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Just don't expect it every time somebody casts sleep on you.
Fair enough.
All right, so yeah, Heron, you're up. You're shaken out of your stupor by a double tap from Ula and Roisin.
And she is... The manacles are on her now?
Yeah, correct.
On the halfling. And she's prone. Okay.
So basically, yeah, you've got Roisin kind of on top of this halfling with the... iron bands around it.
Are you jealous?
I don't know. Maybe. Don't know of who, though. I'm going to... do I? Yes. No, I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep again. I'm going to take out my sword. And I'm going to
drawing your sword
do...
for the first time.
Yes. Drawing my sword for the first time. And I'm going to stab.
Okay. Are you doing a true strike or are you just stabbing?
I'm just stabbing. I don't have true strike. I ended up taking something. So,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's 19 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Okay. That is 10 piercing damage from my blade.
Okay. Yeah, you pierce through the rib cage to where the heart should be in this creature.
And I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Puts up Kes.
Okay, so has Roisin communicated any of what she learned from her religion insight about demons?
Oh, did you, Roisin?
That I have.
Of course you can. Yeah. What do you? How do you say? What do you say?
Demons are vulnerable in their real selves. Chains are good to keep them bound. I don't know what'll happen if we kill the body. It might try to possess other people if it gets free. Yep.
Okay, that's what you're gonna do.
Okay. In that case, Kes is going to vault over this table, come over here, and just say, "Oh, fuck it! We got it chained up. Let's give this a try." And I'm gonna pull out a flask of oil and douse the dead gnome in oil, dead halfling in oil.
Yes.
And try as best I can not to coat Roisin in oil.
I mean, you could coordinate it. You could be like,
it's all good.
Okay. Is that my action, or could I also light the oil with the tinder
box? I thought you light it as bonus action.
Okay. Bonus action, tinder box. Light it up.
All right. The corpse, this you know, three-limbed, no-eyed, you know, heart-stabbed corpse combusts into flames. Roisin, now I will say you're not caught aflame, but you are wrapping a chain around a flaming corpse. That chain's going to get awful hot. Are you going to try to keep a hold on it, or are you going to let go?
Trying to keep a hold on it.
Okay, so what
my
I'm going to
do... nose hairs get singed off.
What I'm going to say is I'm actually going to treat this like the heat metal spell. I think that's probably the most fair way to do it. And so... let me just, there's a, so make me a constitution saving throw.
Okay. Rolling my d4 first.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled a 4. Lovely. All right.
Oh, your d4. Yes, yes, that's good.
Yeah. so that would be a 21, I think.
Nice.
Okay. So you are going to take a little bit of fire damage just from the heat of the metal. But you will have no other penalties from this epic feat of just holding this red hot metal in your hands. Do you do anything as you're doing it? Like, are you just stoic, or are you like screaming, or like what's it like as you perform this epic feat of constitution?
I think I will also be using Stone's Endurance. So yeah. I think, like, I was thinking, it was funny today, I was thinking about, like, what my Stone's Endurance would look like. And I feel like I just, like, you can't see it, but it's like I get extra muscular. Like, mm-hmm. my skin gets more taut and everything. Well, so I think I just go... Mm.
And I know that your appearance, you're leaning a little more into like the stone-skinned aspect of Goliath. So like, I almost imagine that like your skin hardens just a little bit like stone when this happens. And so your stone hands are just grasping this metal. You barely feel the heat through it as you just hold on tight stoically to this creature. The body burns and you hear the creature screaming. As the body just sort of slumps out from the chains, leaving in its place this large, like shadowed demon creature with these big black wings that sort of bloom out like leaves from the side of it. And tall horns also of the same just sort of black shadowy material. And you still have it grappled. Great idea, Kess, by the way. That was really cool. It puts up its turn. And it is going to grab your thumb, Roisin, that's inside the chains. And I need you to make me a wisdom saving throw with advantage.
All right. Let's roll, not that one. Let's roll my stone dice. Die. I got a natural 20. Plus a 4.
Yay. It looks at you for a second with a look of surprise, and it says, "You are already possessed."
When it says that, Tomi shoots off her chromatic orb.
Yes.
No, she didn't. She couldn't tell that it was trying to do something probably earlier, but he's trying to off what he was trying to do.
Yeah, also, let's go ahead and remove this from the board and add this.
Uh-oh.
I'll be interested to hear for Hyrin if this is an improvement or.
Hey, Rin, you notice just like the barest hints of like musculature in the shadows.
That is a 21 to hit.
That will hit.
All right. And then 38. I'm rolling crap on 7/8 points of damage. Let's go acid damage.
All right. You hit it. You all are able to actually see the effects of you hitting it now. The acid damage does not seem to be as effective as you would have hoped, but it does damage it. Okay. Puts up Tomi again.
Okay. She shoots off that chromatic orb and with her left hand, and as that one leaves, she brings up her right hand and shoots off magic missiles from that one.
Nice.
And so that is D4s. 34s. Ow. That was pokey. I love these sharp edge dice, but they do pokey a lot. 4, 5, 6, 7, and 10 points of damage plus 4. No, that's another one I'm doing. Plus 1.
Yeah, 11 points, and what kind of damage is it?
Force damage, magic missile, right? Force.
Okay. That seems to go through without any problem.
Nice.
Okay. He kind of shrieks a little unholy shriek as you hit him with the magic missiles. Puts up Roisin.
Can I do any like actions when I'm grappling? Like my hands aren't free, right? So I can't.
You technically only takes one hand to hold a grapple, so you can attack. You basically only got the chains in one hand.
Okay. I will try my hand at maybe something, but let me check the map. Could I do burning hands and not hit my compatriots? It's a 15-foot cone. Can I finagle that? Or
yeah, it would just kind of because it would just hit the wall. So
okay, yeah, I'm gonna do it. I think Roisin doesn't really know what she's doing, but I think when she grappled the thing, she probably dropped her weapons. So I think this is just like instinctual, like throws her hand out, tries to do something. And it's a Dex 13 save, not super high.
Okay. Dex. 15.
Okay, cool. Does grappled affect that? Sorry, I was just...
I don't believe it does.
Okay, cool. So, I don't... It must take some damage. Sorry, I'm looking between different things. Half, okay. All right. Sorry. 1, 2, 3. This fire damage... 11, so 5 fire damage.
Okay. This does not seem to be as effective as it should be against him.
And I think Roisin looks a little surprised at the fire.
Yeah, yo, this is your first. This is your first spell. Like, how does it like? What's it look like when you cast it? And B, how did you know you could cast it?
I think it was just instinctual. Like, I think she just shoved her hand out because she's used to using her arms.
Yeah.
So I don't think she knows how it came out. And then I think it's like a greeny yellow like flame that just, you know, boop.
As you cast it, you just hear a voice that just says, "Yes, you don't have to study. You do it by instinct. You've got it, lass."
I think I get it now.
That puts up Ula.
Dope. I attack. True strike.
Okay.
Balls. But wait, it's a 9, and I'm blessed.
You are looking for a higher... roll your bless.
It's only a 10.
A 10 will not hit.
Dang!
Now that it's outside of its of its flesh prison.
Flesh prison, that's super gross.
Did you roll with advantage?
No.
Because it's prone?
Oh, he's no longer prone.
Oh, he's no longer prone. Never mind.
Sorry. Yes, he is actually immune to prone.
Got excited.
In his true form.
Well, I will cast Spiritual Weapon.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
And you can immediately make one spell attack. Fantastic. Let's see if I can do better on attempt 2. Spell attack. Oh, that's not 20, motherfucker. What?
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So that's 2d8. I hit. Okay. So 2d8 plus my modifier, which is pretty great. Oh, fuck yeah, man. 13 plus 4. 17 points of damage.
Nice. Damn.
Yeah, that's a crit.
Yeah, and what kind of damage is it?
Force.
Yeah, that seems to go through no problem. And
that's
in
right,
fact,
motherfucker.
In fact, you see, like, the little... and Cass, you sense it immediately, like, whatever is holding this creature together is tattering and fraying.
Nice.
All right. What's up, Heyrin?
Okay. I am going to sing again. And then I will magic missile it as well.
Okay.
Oh shit, I got all fours. That's 12.
Nice. It's kind of it's a magical surprise.
Yeah. Yes, I will start singing and then be like, run, bitch. And I'm gonna run away and I'm gonna but then yeah, I will magic missile. That instead of shells, they're more like, since the sword is unsheathed and it's my like focus, it's almost like the, like, instead of like the shell shards, they're like fractions of the light off of the like Tien, and then those are the missiles that it sends out.
Nice. And how much damage was it? I'm sorry.
12.
Did you have the plus ones for each of the missiles?
No, 15. Thank you.
Yay.
Nice. All right. Kes. Okay. As it's your turn, he looks at you almost pleadingly and just says, I could make you rich. Rich beyond your wildest dreams.
So, above the table, in previous campaigns, good things have come from making deals with demonic entities in games.
Yes, they have.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah, I don't think Kes is tempted, though. They're going to back off a little bit. Short bow, take the shot with advantage because, you know, pupils dilated as they smell ectoplasm.
It's not even a smell. It's just the sense of, like, just this life, whatever is tethering his life force here is just fraying. And you feel like you can just see where to pick at that.
So 25 to hit.
Yep. Do you have a question, Shay? You're...
Okay. I was doing like the, you taste the wind. Ah. The sense. That was stupid.
The ectoplasm currents this way.
With sneak attack, that's a total of 16 damage.
Okay. He is still up, but he is not looking long for this world.
Okay.
His turn?
Yep, I'm done.
All right. All right. He just kind of spits under his breath and looks for his D20 that he has misplaced. It's literally right in front of me. And he just says, "Fools, I could have made you kings, queens among men." And he is going to look at you, Roisin, the only person that's within arm's reach, and the one that's holding his chains. And he's going to make two attacks against you. AC 9. AC 20. All right. That is 13 points of psychic damage.
Okay. I will use Stone's Endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sorry, Matthew. Your attack, the damage is not quite as effective as you thought it might be. Sorry, forgot. It's still looking prettier.
You said 13?
Yeah.
Okay. I rolled an 8 plus 3, which is 11, so I'll take 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else can it do in its turn? You guys have it in a pretty good bind here.
I don't suppose it tried to attack me.
No, it attacked Roisin because Roisin's holding the chains. Oh, I think it's only fair, though, that it take a little bit of that heat metal damage, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which would be halved, but still, it's a little extra damage. Also, the chains, like, now that the body's in the floor, like, the chains are starting to cool down a bit. So no more worries about that. It's made its attacks. Doesn't have any sick bonus actions to use against you guys, I guess. Tell me, it's your turn.
All right. Seeing that some of the different elemental types of magic have been hit or miss, their effectiveness, Tomi shoots off another magic missile. Does that seem to do good?
Mm-hmm.
And so that hits automatically. And why did I put away my thingies when I was trying to do another one? Here we go. Nice! 11.
The hit?
Points of damage. Magic missile.
Oh, magic missile, yes. Strikes unerringly. How do you want to do this?
She just kind of... After Tess's arrows go into him, he's hit with three other projectiles as they slam into him about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, seconds, whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And takes them out.
All right. So what do your magic missiles look like? I don't know if I've asked you to describe these before.
I think I did. I don't remember.
Well, as the last of your magical darts slam into this creature, whatever sort of essence is holding him here dissipates, and he just screams in agony, and he says, "I may be gone, but I won't forget you," as he fades into the ether.
So we've totally got to go find whatever his lair is, right?
He's in hell, I think.
Yes.
Who was it? The trip to the abyss.
Who was it that got a 19? Is Roisin that got a 19? Yeah, he's in hell. Or whatever.
No, I know he's in hell, but this body was here searching for something.
Yes. Oh, sorry. The astral sea, not hell, because that's where demons live in this world at this moment in time.
Yeah, because we still don't know what he was out there searching for. Right.
Yeah, that's why I kind of stopped to try to talk to him. See if maybe get some info.
All right. So as you guys catch your breath, like within a couple of seconds, you hear a noise coming down the stairwell as some guards like break into the room and look around and see the burnt body on the floor and see you guys there. One of them says, I'll fetch the captain. You can let her know what happened.
Sounds good.
And so while you guys catch your breath, let's take a few minutes. And the captain arrives. She's not wearing her armor because it's the middle of the night, and you would gather that she was probably roused from her bed somewhere nearby. But she's wearing just like a very nice, well-fitted like civilian's outfit. And once again, just a reminder, she's a deep gnome, purple skin, short cropped gold hair, about 3.5 feet tall. And she looks up and says, "Oh, well, what happened here? Did you find out who did this?"
"Well, there was a demon living in Sawhide."
"Oh, that's no good."
"Yeah. We sent him back to hell, though. So, you should be good for now."
"Any idea who is bringing the body back to life?"
"No, we kind of killed it before."
"It's probably the demon inside of it."
Roll me. Does Kess want to roll religion, or is he just bluffing?
Roisin said it was a demon.
Oh, okay. So Kess honestly, earnestly believes that it could be the demon that was bringing him back to life.
Yeah, that's the assumption I'm operating under. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought the demon was there for ambulatory reasons.
"Oh, you think so?"
"Elnie just the mastermind of the whole thing."
"Oh. I assumed the demon was the mastermind."
"That's what I thought
as
well."
"Me too. Me three."
"Uh-oh."
I'll say with that bomb-ass religion check, Roisin, you would know that, as far as you're aware, demons don't have the power to resurrect.
"Wait. I might have led you astray thinking about it a little bit further. I don't think demons, I've never read anything about demons having the ability to resurrect."
"Oh.
You know, that's why I wanted to talk to the guy, but I did not make that clear. So that's my bad."
"I think he was going to do everything he could to kill us, so... maybe not."
"Yeah.
I thought we chose violence, which is why I clarified. Are we choosing violence?" And I thought the response was yes.
"I'm sorry. Could maybe just come forward and say that 99% of the time I am going to choose violence."
"Oh, no.
Is that Caitlin or
Ula saying?" "We definitely chose violence."
"Both. It's impossible for me to pick a character, play a character that doesn't choose violence. I'm not even... this is a role play I'm not interested in reaching for. I will always choose violence."
"I was just saying that we should hit the pause button for just, like, a little bit."
"It was probably a good idea."
"Oh, because it offered us to be rich.
It offered us whatever we wanted, and I thought maybe we could get some info on like what it was doing."
"So I'll turn to the captain and just be like, does anybody know where the body was coming from or escaping to?"
"No, we were hoping that was something you could figure out."
"Sorry."
"Oops."
"Well, we solved the current problem."
"No," she says, and it looks at the burnt corpse. "I mean, we're going to do that anyway. And if there's a demon in there that you destroyed, I don't think it'll be coming back anytime soon. So we're happy to pay you for your services, as agreed." She says, "There's just somebody out there that's some resurrector out there that's just going to escape justice." But
any particular locale close by that's extra creepy or might lend itself to this sort of situation?
Any place that has ogre skeletons.
Ogre skeletons?
Well, you saw one yesterday in the marketplace.
Yeah, one of the skeletons. Our graveyards are stuffed full of all sorts of manners of creatures, so I suppose we can maybe start searching them to see if there's any that have had anything dug up lately."
"You bury ogres?"
Well, some of them, yes.
Okay.
I mean, there are some nice ones that live in society.
It's just unusual. Actually, what the fuck would I know? I come from I didn't say any of that.
Do you not have ogres where you come from?
No.
Sea ogres?
Sea ogres.
I don't even know what the flora and fauna are of my home
world. Is there... There's nothing left of the body, right? Like,
I know it's like a charred corpse. It's not like ash or anything like that.
Can I like search to see if there's any like, I don't know, a coin that says
"If found, return to."
Yeah.
Roll me. I'll let you. Anybody that wants to either roll perception or investigate. Both of which would have disadvantage to search this body for clues. And you just tell me like what you're searching and which skill you're using.
Disadvantage, though?
Disadvantage because of the state of the corpse, yeah.
Okay.
Perception or investigate?
Mm-hmm.
I rolled low. Not worth it.
14.
Yeah, 13.
I'm going to do a CSI and like examine their shoes to see if there's like particular soil or anything on them. And I got a 17 investigation.
17. So 17. Who else got higher than a 15?
Oh, I just didn't. Damn it.
Should I re-roll? Wait. I have inspiration.
Oh, I do have inspiration.
I'm going to use my inspo.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, I never use it.
Nope. Mine's lower.
Oh, 17.
Wait, am I still 20? Blessed?
20.
Blessed lasts for a minute. I would say probably not. Yeah. 20. And what were you searching? Tell me, like, which, what, like, what were you using? Investigate or perception, and what were you searching?
I rolled inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
But I had disadvantage. I still had to use the lower number. So why did I roll inspiration?
Oh, it's a well. I'd say with inspiration, you just reroll both dice and take the lower of those.
Okay. I was like, wait a second.
You said above a 15, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna try to use my tactical mind because it lets me add a D10.
Okay. Awesome. Love to see you use it. All right. All right. So Cass, you're searching the shoes. Get a 17. And then Roisin, what are you looking at?
I got a 16.
Okay.
With that. I'm investigating like see if there's anything left like on the body that's like an identifier of anything. Like not who this person was, but like I don't know if there's any sort of like tag or place they've been or something like that.
All right. So I will say, Kes, the one thing you notice from the shoes, is that they are, they're not shoes that an adventurer would wear. And they're in fact like a very nice, they look like some sort of bespoke leather, like, brand. These aren't like shoes that somebody bought in the store. These are shoes that were like sized for this person, so you could conclude from that whoever this is quite moneyed. Mm-hmm. And then Roisin, with your 15, give me just a second. Got one to look up one thing real quick. You notice on one of the shoulders, there is a tattoo of a hand with an eye in the center of it.
Illuminati.
That's Iona, right?
No, that's not Iona. Roll me a religion check.
Handy dandy book.
From my book too.
It's the, I think it's the very first one. No, it's not. I'm wrong.
It's an 18, I think. Oh, no, 16.
Okay. With a 16, or not night, a sun, you would know this is the holy symbol of Karmala, one of the gods that's worshipped in this area.
It is right after Iona, though.
It was right after Iona.
It is.
And that,
that's the title of the page.
And that, and it, which is an interesting choice of a tattoo for this person to have on them, because they are a necromancer, and that is not something followers of Karmala believe, that necromancy is a violation of a person's right to dignity.
Ooh. Okay, I will look what I found. This doesn't seem right.
Why?
Oh, don't you know about Karmala? They were against necromancy.
Did you roll a religion check, Tomi?
No.
Did you just not care to?
I have zero on religion.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, would I roll this with disadvantage too, or straight?
You'd roll it straight.
I'll roll it.
I can roll.
Yes. 11.
Oh, I rolled a natural 20.
I was gonna say it makes sense, Tomi, because I was gonna say you actually have been all over the world, so you probably have a better,
that's true,
a broader,
that's true,
you know, knowledge of the gods. So yeah, you would also know that, yeah, like a Karmala worshipper would not be a necromancer.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Well, whoever they are, they were rich. It was nice shoes.
Yeah. Karmala and shoes.
Is Karmala worshipped around here?
Is there a temple?
Yeah, Karmala's worshipped in a lot of port cities in this area. She's also, people pray to her for protection on their travels.
Maybe we can go to a temple and ask if they know, like, a rich family.
Is anybody really good at drawing?
The guard captain, fuck the police, a cab. The guard captain says, well, we do have, you know, sketch artists. We could sketch up a composite of her.
Would that be all right? And then we could ask around.
Yeah. I mean, we would really appreciate any information that you could give us about who's doing this.
Could you also sketch? No.
What just happened?
I think you can commission something later if you want to.
Hey, Red was going to have them sketch that demon.
Well, I think it would be helpful. And if you happen to make two sketches, I think we should have one.
the demon was hotter than that. Way hotter.
More pecs.
All right. So she says, yeah, we'll, she kind of looks at one of the constables. She's like, you can draw, go ahead and do it. And so they go upstairs with, and are going to make a drawing of the mysterious necromancer. She says, now it is, you know, what, 1:30 in the morning. I don't know if y'all want to finish getting some rest, pick this up in the morning. I think what we'll do is we'll finish incinerating the corpse, just to make sure that there's nothing that they can bring back. And anything you can do would be helpful.
Yeah, sure. When do we get paid?
No.
Oh, sorry. Chris forgot to mention. She immediately, when she said earlier that she was going to pay you, handed you each 50 gold pieces.
Thanks.
50?
50. actually, she actually hands you each 5 platinum, but.
Woo!
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Would it be possible actually for you to sketch the demon?
Yes, they
okay.
Absolutely, yes, of course we can sketch whatever will be helpful.
It did say it was going to remember this, and I think we should be careful.
I think that's a good idea. Would I know how easy it is for demons to, like, if they have a vendetta, like how easy it is for them to
I'll say the last little bit of information I'll give you from your religion role about demons is that Once they die, it takes a long time for them to come back, like over a year.
Okay. We've got some time, but I think that's a good idea, because if we've got time, then we might forget what they look like.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget.
Hey, it's like when you are you doing okay?
Yes. Are you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm Why? Just, I don't know. I wasn't really around you during the fight, and you seemed to be saying some interesting things about the daemon.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You seem really, really, really into him.
I mean, so shadowy, and there were horns, and he was like,
that's your kind of thing?
Really scary. Sometimes, have you read, Chris, what I know if there's like a...
You can make up any book title and it'll be canon in this world forever.
You have the power.
Oh my god, I'm panicking in the moment. I can't remember the name. I'll think of it and then I will tell you, I will let you know when I remember okay. it. There's a whole genre of books where people, you know, are fucking demons.
There's a book in particular, you know, it's called Between Light and Shadow by K.J. Tigglebottom, and that is
yes.
Why is that the author's name?
K.J. Tigglebottom.
Tiggle.
Tiggle.
Tiggle. So, with G's, right?
Yeah.
No.
Are you saying that if the demon showed back up and like maybe was a little threatening but not like actively murdering us, you'd like try to crack on with it? Maybe.
No, maybe. I don't know.
Nora.
Probably. I mean, they seem really, like, so morally gray in the books.
I think we might have
exactly what they're like in real life.
In real life, he seemed like he just wanted to do a bunch of murder, right?
We might have run that bridge by killing him, I think. Hey, Ren, I'm sorry.
Or you could have made the plot even more tumultuous.
Oh, maybe he has a brother. And then you killed his brother. And then you can fall in love with him.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to link my arm through Tomi's. Have you considered being a writer?
No.
Sorry, Captain Jim Cutter just kind of almost too quiet for you to hear is just like under her breath just says, well, if he says he's going to be back, he'll be thinking about you all year.
That's brilliant.
If you take a look over, you notice that Ula's face is shading into purple.
Is this anger or embarrassment or
yes.
my character is like very young. she basically just graduated high school. Just
all right, so thankfully this moment is relieved by the sketch artist coming back downstairs with two portraits. One that's a fairly good representation of the necromancer. The other one that is a surprisingly thirsty looking demon sketch. That's based on the description that you. I'm assuming that they got the description from Hayren about what it looked like, and they hands both of them to Hayren.
Pass one of them along.
I hope those are helpful. Captain, I'm going to go back upstairs to get this. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And if you find out any more information, please let us know. We'd be very interested in hearing it.
Thank you.
We're not staying down here the rest of the night.
No, you have a room. You guys have a room at the Eight Arms.
Right.
That you paid for.
We have a couple rooms, yeah.
Two of them. Two private rooms with bunk beds.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Adon's
go take a nap.
Okay. So you head back to down the hill to the West Docks to the Eight Arms. As you come in shortly before the closing time for the bar, it's almost a little before 2 a.m., you see there's the place has kind of died down a bit. Just some old regulars that are drunkenly exchanging stories in the corner and a couple of sailors that are flirting heavily and drunkenly near one end of the bar.
Get a room.
That's a great idea. And they like start talking. They start talking to the innkeeper about getting a room. You all just head up to your room.
We're gonna stop by the bar once they're done talking to him. Say, hey, Verifica.
Hey, what's up,
Damon?
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Always up to cool stuff wherever you go, huh, Tommy?
Uh huh. Pretty much.
She says, "You wanna celebratory ale?"
Sure.
She pours you one of her cheapest watered down ales. Hands it to you.
I have a nightcap.
Any of y'all anything else? Last call.
I'm good.
No, thank you.
She looks at you here and says, "How about you? You look thirsty."
You have no idea.
Tell me, I will have one. Almost thank spits you. Out her ale.
And she hands you a watered down ale as well. All right. So you also have your ale. You go back and get a little more sleep. Take a long rest. Not a long rest. A short rest. So if any of you lost any hit points, I think you guys came out fairly unscathed in that, though.
I did not get hit once.
I think it's just Kess, maybe, that...
Yeah.
Well, I guess Rasheen took a little. Yeah.
I did use spells, though, so...
Okay. All right, so y'all short rest, wake up. It's still the 6th of Sylvian. It's, about 7 in the morning. You hear the sound of the tavern downstairs, lively, lots of sailors that are, eating their breakfast and chatting before they head off to their ships. You hear the sounds of carts in the street and of people hawking, various breakfast items from carts that are rumbling down the way. You hear merchants that are packing up and taking off, merchants that are coming into the markets to arrive. It's just the sound of city.
Can we take a bio break?
Yeah, we'll pause here.
Thanks.
Right.
All right. So you all are in the Eight Arms Tavern. Come down and get your breakfast, which is included in the price of the admission. And what do you all do with your day? So since it's been a month since we last played, just a reminder, your objectives... in addition to maybe tracking down more information about this necromancer and how they're being resurrected, you need to get to Jungle's Edge, and you could get there by boat or over land, and you decided last session that you'll probably do it over land because you'll make money that way, guarding like a caravan or something to that effect. And so that's also on your to-do list today, or in the nearest future.
Did we get any information or directions from the guard captain towards the nearest temple to Carmala? Carmala?
Yeah, Carmala. Yeah, there's one. There's one. It not too far from here. Kind of pretty close to the gate. It's a place where a lot of sailors go. And then she also mentions that there's another one in North Portage as well, kind of in the docks up there as well.
Okay. Well, I'd like to swing back by the market today, mm-hmm. now that we've got some coin on us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, you head out to the market. You see vendors are already set up. The place is already abuzz. It is the 6th of Sylvian. It is a rest day, so Fantasy Saturday. So, it's especially busy as... it's the weekend, and so there's a lot of people out shopping and looking at things. Even though it's the weekend, you still hear it's bangs and clanks coming from Bang and Clank Blacksmith Shop. You see Yuri there hammering on some iron, along with some other shop workers in the back working on other forges. And yeah, what sort of things are you looking for in the market this day with this money that is now burning a hole in your pockets?
Cass is looking for a magic item or potion shop.
Absolutely. So you look around looking for one of those. There's obviously like random vendors here and there who have some. But after just a little bit of looking, you're able to find a magic shop. It's called Rust Not Included.
Tomi has the same desires for items, so she's going to be going with Chess, as long as Chess kind of said that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, that's what he said to the group.
I will also be going.
Sounds like Alia, maybe?
Maybe if Heron wasn't saying that they wanted to go, was Heron wanting to go? Sorry, that should be my
question. I was going to say, I actually wanted to, I mean, it's not going to take the whole, but I wanted to see, I wanted to check in with Roisin at some point about her using magic and also her burned.
Yeah, let's say it's like still breakfast in the morning as y'all are eating your, they have a little omelet bar and, some like porridge and stuff that they're doling out.
Flirt.
Hi.
Body.
Yeah. How are your hands?
Surprisingly not burned.
And for two reasons. That's surprising.
Yes. Because they were burned and they were doing some burning.
Yeah, I meant the second part. You know, I'm used to, you know, enduring things. But that's the first time fire's come out of my hand. So, I don't know why, really. I mean, I didn't study anything that told me how to do it. I just kind of threw my hand up because I didn't have my weapon in my hand.
And just came out?
Yeah.
Oh, lucky. That's great.
That's you looked. You looked good with your sword.
Thanks. I just really wanted to stab.
Yeah, you did. I feel like, I mean, you know, I feel like they looked great. And the song, the noise you made was wonderful.
Thank you.
Also, yeah. imagine everybody's here for this, by the way, if anybody wants to add stuff.
Oh.
So is there some reason the demon said you were possessed?
Me?
Yep.
I mean, I don't think I'm possessed, but, you know, my great, 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 great grandfather, does speak to me occasionally in my mind. So.
Oh, that's great.
It's very great. One might say it's great times 10.
Kes is going to look to Ula. Does this look like Ula is surprised at all to learn this, or like it's something that she's already aware of?
I think that Ula's just really happy to be here right now and learning more about everybody, you know? She's definitely going to say, it's so funny that you want to stab too, Heron, because I want to stab a lot, but magic is just like, you know, they were like, you have to use your magic. And I was like, but I could also stab.
Stab. Yeah.
Where I'm from.
I also like stabbing.
Yeah.
I think we all like stabbing. Where I'm from, you only stab and you don't use magic. So I'm excited to get on that side of the line.
I get in trouble if I tried to stab too much, mainly because I tended to yell a lot when I was practicing, and that startled the herds, and then that made people really mad at me.
Herds?
What kind of herds?
Oh, you know, different various fish.
Aren't those called schools?
Shut up. Is that what you guys call them? We just called them herds.
Fair enough.
What would you call it a school?
Do they sit down for a lesson?
I don't know.
Where you're from sounds weird.
Now, my favorite were the dolphin herds, because they would just take you along with them, and you could end up miles from home. And you'd be fine, because they wouldn't let anything happen to you. But man, did that piss off your mom.
Shit. Like pissing off your mom?
I mean, it wasn't my favorite thing, but also, she told me not to stab things. So, I do what I
yes.
You hear a, Tommy, you hear a little chittering sound, and Sir Greg is trying to tell you something.
Oh, what is it? Nice.
I would like more sausage. I have not been fed enough sausage.
Oh, yeah, of course. Actually, I'll just drop in him his own plate full of sausage. Come back.
Now, yes, this is the portion sized for Lord Greg. Thank you.
Oh, that's your dad.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. It's big enough for him. It's great.
Oh, okay.
For him.
Okay. Just making sure. I don't know what my voice is doing today.
He eats a sausage. Yes, Matthew?
Okay. I don't know if you just did that voice on purpose.
Uh-oh.
Or if that was a slip. This badger isn't Melrock, is it?
No, I didn't even...
100%, okay. I promise, Amanda and I both promise you, this badger is not Melrock. Melrock is on the moon.
Okay.
Oh my god, I wish I had thought of that.
Oh my god.
Look, there's only so many times as a DM I can give a player a lich-filled pet, okay?
Oh my god, I would have fucking loved that.
Ooh, okay.
That's funny.
No, he's just the baby badger.
With illusions of grandeur.
Yeah. Delusions.
Hey, Rin, I was wondering if maybe... we got money. Could you show me some of those books you were talking about? I'm very curious. Thought maybe I could pick one up and read it on my spare time.
Oh, do you want to just... Books are so expensive. Do you want... I have some. And then I just got a bunch of mostly smut
Tell
on
me
the table.
Immediately grabs one.
Which ones are not about a demon?
Oh, most of them. There are, and there are some from the previous list that explained.
I'll just grab a random one that's not about a demon.
It's about a wizard, which actually would be novel for you. So, it's the first book in the Aubrey Strong Spark series.
Ooh.
A spark in the tinderbox.
A spark in the tinderbox.
Where's one that's kind of like, say, 2.5 on the raunchy scale? I think that's about where I am.
I will find one that is probably more objectively 2.5 on the raunchy scale.
Okay.
Does the scale go to 5 or 10?
5.
All right. All right, so y'all head off into the market.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rust not included.
Yeah, so you head to the market. You walk past the bank, like Blacksmith has mentioned, and there you see a charming story and a half-sized building that the top of it has just looks like a little wooden dragon. It is not in any way realistic, and in fact is almost endearingly bad. Clearly this was a passion project for somebody who is not a carpenter. you see a sign in the window that just says magical items sold here, !
Marvelous. I go inside.
Okay. You go inside, you hear a bell ring as you walk in. You see all sorts of manner of magical accoutrements on the walls. And then you see a sign in the center of the room that says, look with your eyes, not your hands. Shoplifters will be banished. And sitting over behind a desk, a little oblivious to you at the moment, as she is doing scribbling on some sort of broadsheet, what looks to be a crossword puzzle, you see an older looking blue dragonborn. She's wearing just like a just kind of like loose fitting, like kind of breezy silk caftan, and it just has a big mug of coffee on her desk that looks to be mostly empty.
Excellent.
And she looks up and says, oh, hello, welcome. The rust not included. Because magic items never rust. They never get tired of explaining that. So, what can I do for y'all?
Well, we were perhaps looking to see what you had in stock. I'm Kes. Who are you?
Oh, Kes, what a pleasure. She stands up and finishes her coffee and comes over and extends a hand to you. My name is Safara Orexa John Dillon. And I'll put that one in the group chat because I don't feel like spelling it.
Thank you.
And she says, this is my shop. I own it. If you have any questions at all, I am happy to help. Now she says, I have a fairly good selection, especially of, if we're talking about things on the Altair scale, things that are of the common and uncommon variety, we have pretty wide variety, she says. Also have some more rarer, hard to find items, she says. If you've got the coin, I'd be happy to show you through my special wares. But she says, but if you're just looking for a sort of the more economical items, she says, let me know what you're interested in and I'll let you know what I have.
My budget's definitely in the uncommon to common range, I think.
There's no shame in that, darling. It's good to know what we have so we don't get disappointed when we can't get what we want. What's that, Caitlin?
I was just going to say, the spelling of that name is a crime against magic.
She says, let me just pull up my handy dandy magic item pricing table here. I just need to grab a copy of it from my other campaign that I'm running. Okay. All right. She says, so what sort of item are you looking for today, Sugar?
Oh, well, open to browsing. I don't know if you have any sort of wondrous sort of gizmo that does something fun.
I have all sorts of wondrous gizmos, and I assure you each and every one of them is fun.
Cool. Could you give me some examples?
Absolutely. So
yeah, can we roll on a table?
Hi, I'm Tomi, by the way.
Oh, hello, Tomi. Safara or Rexa John Dillon.
Nice to meet you, officially.
A pleasure.
I don't know why it's talking like that.
Have I seen you in my shop before? I always remember a face.
Yeah, I think I maybe did come by here a long time ago.
All right, so above the table, I'm going to roll for some random interesting items, but if there's any common or uncommon magic items that you have your heart set on, let me know, and I will Basically, how this will work is I will roll to see if they have it in stock. And the lower rarity it is, the higher the odds of them having it in stock is, if there are specific items that you have your heart set on. But let's see. Oh, new DMG, new magic item rolling table, I hope. Random magic items. All right. She says, and our most economical tier, she says, and these items would be, she says, you know, anywhere between 50 and 100 gold pieces. Our top three sellers are this wand of pyrotechnics. She says it will let you, it's essentially a fireworks in the wand, darling. I think you can get the hang of it. she says, what the fuck is this? Oh, I'm going to re-roll because that does not apply to anybody in this group. And that's not fun. Okay. It was for warlocks only. Oh, she says, any of you that are spellcasters, she says, she goes to the wall and pulls up this nice 1-inch ruby. She says, this will allow you to, for those of you that use blades and cast spells, this will allow you to use your weapon as a spellcasting focus. But I think the only person that might be interested in that, their common magic item that they started the campaign with was a sword that does just that. So
I could probably use that for later when I get both class.
It does require attunement, though. So. Mm-hmm. And there's 50 gold pieces.
Early days yet. Who cares about attunement slot?
And then she looks at you specifically, Tomi, and says, and this staff will cause flowers to sprout from the earth or from the staff itself. And you can choose specific kinds of flowers or just seasonal.
I've had that before.
Yeah, I think Brinley had that.
I never used it. I always forgot.
And she says, and for our those of you with higher budgets, she says in the 100 to 500 gold piece range, she says, we have a potion of animal friendship.
No way.
That's what I
no
rolled.
Prove it. Send a screenshot.
I already rolled for the next one. Those items are illegal, so she would not have that. I rolled a filter of love, and those are illegal in my world. She says, this wand shoots webs like a spider might, but bigger. Okay, no takers. And our final item is just this cloak that will protect you. A cloak of protection plus one.
How much is that one?
It gives you plus one armor class and saving throws while you wear it. It is a steal at 250 gold pieces.
That is a steal. Send you a message, Chris.
Okay. All right.
How much is the animal friendship?
Potion of animal friendship. That is, she says we're having a special on those right now. They are 50 gold pieces.
Perfect. How did I know that was going to be the case? What was the third thing? Cloak of protection, animal friendship.
Wand of web.
She says, those are our featured hot sellers this month. And of course, if there's anything else that you want, let me know and I can take a look and see if we have it in stock.
Do you have maybe any things that let you send messages or?
Oh, yeah.
She says, yes. For those of you that are... in the more modest price ranges, we do have earrings of messaging. She says that they only have a finite number of uses per day, but they're cheaper as a result. They're only 50 gold pieces. And so basically, earring of messages has 5 charges. And so basically, you can cast the message spell 5 times per day. It regains a d4 plus 1 charges daily at dawn.
Is that 50 per earring?
50 per earring, yeah. But it's not limited to other earrings. It's just the message spell. So.
Oh, okay.
So it's not sending, like the sending stone. It's just message.
Yeah.
And it's the same range as message?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Is there
actually? Let me look. They may have updated message. It is 120 feet. Yeah. So it's not like a sending stone. It's just you point 120 feet, and they can hear you, and only they can hear you. She says, and of course, we have the latest model of sending stone, even thinner and smaller than before. And she points to you to a flat black slab that's about yay big.
How much are those?
She says, these are 150 gold pieces apiece.
So if we pooled, we could maybe get two.
Share screen time.
It's my turn to play Snake.
God, right? Take me back. I will go ahead and get an earring of messaging. That sounds like a pretty good investment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's most of my money, but I think I will too.
Yeah, it's just about all I have left too.
And if it's not showing up, just make sure you have critical role content enabled because it's technically from CR.
Okay.
She looks at you, hey, Ren, and just says, how about you? Anything for you?
Would you take a look at an item that I have?
Of course, darling. Identifying services are complimentary.
Oh, great. Please be careful with it. It's my most prized possession. And then I will hand my sword.
As you hand it over to her, she pulls it out of its scabbard and gives an appreciative whistle. She says, oh, this is quite the fine made blade. She says, is it for, she says, it's your most prized possession, so I will assume it's not for sale. She says, and you're just looking to know what it can do?
Yes, it's a family heirloom, but I've never really had the chance to actually know about it.
She says, what is this made of? It's not steel.
Do I know what it's made out of?
I would say that you would know because it's, you know, you are of that ancestry, and so you would recognize it.
Okay. It's a scale from a pearl dragon.
Oh, she says, quite a stunning material. She says, I've never seen anything like it. She says, and just holding it, it feels just attuned to magic. She says, this is a fine blade. All right. I'm going to check something and also think about plot things. Give me just a sec.
Plot.
Interesting. I'm going to send a picture while you're doing that.
Okay, here's what I'll say.
Okay.
She says, I sense a great potential in this weapon. It, right now, it says, feels like one could direct magic to flow through it, she says. And additionally, if you say its name, the weapon's name, she says, it will begin to shed moonlight. Oddly, I didn't get the name of the weapon with the casting. Do you know the name of it?
Do I know the name of it?
We talked about this and you decided that you did not.
I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that it had a name.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, darling. But yes, if you can figure out the name of it, that'll shed moonlight. I also feel... She says, it's strange. I've never felt anything like this in a weapon before. There's... It feels like there's a greater potential to it that is not yet unlocked.
Thank you.
How long has it been in your family? And she sheaves it and hands it back to you.
I don't know.
Oh, well, it is quite the special item, and she says, and I know you said it was sentimental, but I would trade it for any item I have here in my shop, if that is something you were interested in.
Thank you. I'll just put it back on my belt.
I understand. All right. Anybody else want to buy anything or
I have sell anything? Most of my money. I do not have anything to sell.
You do, actually, Tomi.
What do I have to sell?
You have a staff used by a necromancer as an arcane focus.
Oh, yeah. What does that do? It's just a focus? Can I have her identify it?
Yes, let me take a look at this. And she casts identify on it. She says, yes, this is a... this staff will increase the efficacy of any necromancy spells. It's in game terms, it's a plus one to hit, plus one to damage for necromancy spells. Plus one to DCs for necromancy spells as well.
Can I sell it to you?
Oh, yes, I'd be happy to give you, say, 50 gold pieces for it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so here you go.
Can I do insight before Tomi says yes? Does that seem like a good deal? For a plus one staff?
It's a very limited plus one staff. It's only for necromancy spells.
Okay, so does it seems fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she's going to turn around and sell it for 100 gold pieces, but that's, you know, business.
Yeah, of course. As long as she's not turning around and selling it for 500, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I'd say just with your passive insight, like, you get like a good vibe from her. She doesn't seem to be
okay.
Cool. She gives what does she give me? Like, platinum, gold.
Oh, she'd ask you how you wanted it.
Platinum.
She hands you five platinum pieces.
Okay, I give one to everyone.
Nice. What? Well, because it's loot that you guys got from slaying the necromancer, so that's fair.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I played a part.
It's very kind of you.
Oh.
Well, I wouldn't been able to do it myself.
It was kind of a bitch of a fight.
And she says, and if you're looking for potions, she says, I've got a couple, you know, the Animal Friendship Potion, but there's a far more comprehensive shop owned by a lovely, lovely Kinku. It's called the Last Drop Potion Shop. It's just about a block from here.
Oh, we'll hit them up next. Thanks.
She looks at your Aubrey Strong Spark book that's like kind of half out of your pack, Roisin. She also says, there's also a bookshop nearby. She says, Twice Sold Tales. It's a used bookshop, has all sorts of books.
All right. What kind of books do you like that aren't learning books?
Fiction, darling.
Yes.
Oh, I love all sorts of fictional books.
What genre would you say is your favorite?
She says, I am a big fan of the... she says, there's an author, she says, in Avolia, she says, that has a series of magical realism books about just... where it's all about food and the cooking of food and how that translates to emotions and magical effects. She says, it's one of my favorite series.
That sounds very interesting. Thank you.
She says, anyway, it is the Blood and Chocolate series. She says, by Sergio Sabater.
Sergio Sabater. All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. So, is there anything else you all want to buy in here, or are you done?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, darlings, feel free to stop back by any time. Your coin and your faces are always welcome here.
Oh, I had a question.
Yes.
The thing that was terrorizing the marketplace.
Oh, that dreadful necromancer. Yes, I heard that she was back the other day.
Yeah, it seemed like she was looking for something. Has she always been focused on sending her little minions out to hunt for something?
Oh, yes, tearing merchants' strong lockboxes asunder and chests and searching for something.
Did she ever seem to find it?
No. Otherwise, I don't think she would have kept coming back.
Well, did she ever get close and spend time in one particular location that she might have thought she found it?
Didn't seem to be the case. The guards would usually arrive pretty quickly.
Okay. Any particularly creepy place where you think it would be really easy to raise people from the dead?
I wouldn't know anything about that, darling. It says, but I do have a wand that will raise a skeleton and make it do your bidding.
No, thanks.
She says, you don't even have to be in a creepy place to do it. You could do it in a park on a spring day.
No, thank you. Bye. Ula leaves the store. Ula is going to go out.
She looks at the rest of you and says, did I say something wrong?
Sorry, it's fine.
How much is that one?
I don't think so.
She says it's a steal of 25,000 gold pieces.
Oh, okay.
25,000? Oh my god. Hilarious.
All right.
You love a deal.
Love a deal.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out and try to look for some kids.
Right.
Or not kids, but like some late teens, mm-hmm. like people pretty close to my age who are, you know, just laying about.
Hooligans.
Yeah. Hooligans. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, like, there's a shop that's selling like tourist tchotchkes, and there's like a bored looking, like maybe like 19 something year old human girl or woman who's sitting there like kind of blolly smoking a clove cigarette.
Ula takes a deep breath of this very harsh air and breathes out slowly as she approaches and tries not to have the look on her face because smoke is one of the worst things she's ever experienced in her whole fucking life. Hi, how are you today?
Are you interested in a snow globe?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm from the sea and the smoke is... I just wanted to ask...
Oh, I guess I could put it out. And she like kind of like... does the thing where, like, she rubs the tip of it so that it, you know, extinguishes, but she can smoke the rest of it later, and she, like, tucks it behind her ear.
Love it. Perfect. Thank you. I'm looking for a place where a necromancer might raise skeletons from the dead. Where's the creepiest place you know about around here?
She says there's a cemetery I hang out at, like, after work.
Okay. Any raised dead happening there?
She says, I don't know. I guess it would happen anywhere that there's like dead to raise.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever trip over an open grave that had been clawed open?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. That's the sort of thing I'm looking for. I'm trying to track down this fucking necromancer.
Now, she says there are some like open mausoleums that we'd hang out in, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just where we go to, you know, smoke pipe weed.
In your head, you hear, ask about the Temple to Kamala.
Oh, yeah. Is there a Temple of Kamala nearby?
Yeah, and she gives you the same directions that the guard captain gave you to the one that's near
here.
Oh,
yeah, I forgot we got that.
Is that place on the up and up, or is there something shady about it?
No, it's like where sailors go.
Okay.
And like, I don't know, like she's all about life and preserving life, and like, you know, death is coming for us all. It's heavy.
Thanks. The teens here don't know anything, guys.
The teens everywhere.
Okay. I thought I'd give it a shot.
Worth a try. I liked it.
I think we should ask about the rich girl at the temple.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay. So y'all exit the shop. So are you going to the temple next?
Yeah.
Okay. Or do we want to stop at the potion shop?
Is it on the way?
It is on the way. Does anybody have any money left to buy potions with?
Not really. No.
I have 50 gold and that's it. I don't think that's going to get me hardly anything.
I have 16
potion
gold.
Of healing.
It will get me a potion of healing?
Yeah, potions of healing are 50 gold.
I'll swing to get another potion of healing.
Okay. So yeah, you head over to the Last Drop Potion Shop. It is just a two-story wooden shop. You open it up and you find just a large room that's just filled with bottles haphazardly all over the place. You see a Kinku who's in the kind of back half of the room, like next to a cauldron, stirring it. She looks up at you guys and says, "Welcome."
Hi.
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 Can I have a potion of healing?
Yeah, you can. 50 gold.
I give him my money.
Cool. Thank you. Shiny.
Do I get my potion?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, have a wonderful day.
Back away slowly.
Stirring the potion. All right.
All right.
Bye.
To the temple.
To the temple. All right. So you head to the Kamarla temple, not far from the giant gate, which you can, as you get closer to, you can just sort of feel the magical energy radiating off of. So the Kamarla temple is a large three-story, one of the, along with the constabulary, one of the only other stone buildings you've seen. It's built right by the docks to last. And it's got, you know, just a giant stained glass window with the palm and the sun over it. And you see people pretty, like a pretty steady amount of people coming in and coming out of it.
All right, let's go in.
Do it.
All right. Yeah. So you all kind of walk in with a bunch of other people. You see a lot of the people are sailors. And they are kind of forming a line and appear to be making small ties to the church and receiving blessings from a small group of like practiced, I wouldn't say harried, but like busy but practiced Kamarla clerics who are blessing these folks for their upcoming journeys.
The Kamarla Congo line?
And this busy port city? A little bit, yes. But there's also, you know, so that's kind of like where a lot of people are going, but you also see some people, they're just sort of like sitting, there's like, you know, benches, there's people sitting on them in prayer. You see there's a couple of priests that are in council with people, chatting with them. And then you also see there's a few more priests sort of walking around, tidying up the place.
How important do the priests tidying up the place look? Probably not very.
Roll me an insight check.
How many people would you say are in this building?
It's a big building. There's probably
13.
You'd gather there's maybe like 10 to 12 clerics and probably at any given time 100 or so sailors.
Okay.
That's
13. 13. You notice that they're wearing like the same kind of holy symbols as the people that are in council with people. You would gather that while none of them are like the head priest, that they're all probably of a fairly equal level with each other.
All right. Anybody want to take the lead, or should I go talk to somebody? Okay. I'm going to go pick up the closest priest.
Mm-hmm. You find a human. He's got a sort of skin that's been tanned from the sun, kind of dark hair cropped close, wearing just sort of nice nice kind of robes and a shiny holy symbol with the hand of the sun on it. And he's sweeping up and he looks up at a lot of you. He says, oh, hello.
Hello.
He says, are you here for a blessing or is there something else that's concerning you?
Something else. We are working on something with the constabulary. And I had a couple of questions for you. We're trying to identify a person.
Oh, well, I'll see what I can do. He says, is this person missing or are they wanted for a crime?
They are deceased.
Oh, my condolences.
Well, I didn't know.
Do you need to have services for them?
No, I don't know what the plan is with the constabulary. We're just trying to find out where they come from and maybe family.
Oh, to notify next of kin. Yes, of course.
We have a picture, but we just had to come here because they had a tattoo of the holy symbol on their shoulder. She turns to you guys.
So while that's happening, Roisin, I come up to you and I tug on your belt or something. Can I up? Because I'm 3.5 feet tall, surrounded by 100 people, freaking out. So I will climb the rigging and get where it's safe.
All right, so you climb up on the shoulder. He says, so the person you're looking for is a hot demon?
Wrong sketch.
Hey, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yes.
What is that?
Oh, I'm...
Fuck yes.
Philomena, she's dead?
Oh, you know her.
Oh, shit. That's a name, bitch.
Philomena Goldfound. She's a cleric in North Portage.
Ooh,
that's
bad. I just saw her 2 days ago. I don't understand.
Do you know why she would be here?
She usually sticks to the north side of things.
What was her last name?
Goldfound.
Oh, so she's north side of the town.
Yeah.
Okay.
The cleric of Carmala.
Yes.
Quite a devout one, too. Do you know what she's been up to recently?
Giving sailors blessings. I mean, she was next in line for the head cleric of the North Temple. She's been a trusted Carmala cleric for decades.
Oh, well... Sorry to have to break the news to you like this. We should probably go over to the north side and speak with them as well. Our condolences for your loss. And we can speak with the constabulary and have them reach out to both the northern temple.
So he looks confused for a second. He says, why are you here and not the constabulary?
They're dealing with things going on in the constabulary. They sent us out to try and do a wider search because they're doing a search, but we're also doing a wider search. We're assisting them.
And what is your involvement in all this? Are you mercenaries or?
No, we're just, we have a little sort of expertise in the area.
I'm going to lean down and talk a little quieter to Roisin. Are we lying about what she did?
I don't know about lying or just not saying.
Okay.
Well, I'm following Tommy's lead.
Tommy, you got an earring of message too, right?
Yeah, but I can't say anything to you.
That's okay. But I can message you.
You can message anybody with the ring if they have it or don't.
Ooh, great. So I'll message Tommy and be like, I think it'd be really good to let them know what happened. Unless you think it's a bad idea.
She's going to shake her head. Just subtly shake her head.
All right. Well,
and then she'll kind of like go like this, like back of her head, 1 second.
He says, well, if you or the constabulary would, well, no, maybe I should go tell her. High Priestess Castle Tanira about this.
We can go together.
Yeah.
Is the High Priestess at the North Temple?
Well, yes, the High Priestess of the North Temple, yes.
I'm sure I wouldn't like to get in trouble with Captain Jim Cutter and have her think that we were slacking off.
Yeah. Gotta do our duty.
Yes, I mean, do you have details of what happened to Priestess Goldfound?
We do. Maybe that's better if
we do.
Don't discuss them here.
Yes.
Might be better.
A little more in private.
Yeah.
Sorry, if I'm being edgy, it's because I don't want anyone involved to overhear.
Well, I should let my high priest know what's happened, and then I'm going to go over there with you. I'll be back in just a moment.
Cool. We'll wait outside.
Yeah. Yep.
Motion for everybody to come outside the temple.
While we were there, though, while that conversation was happening, was there anybody who was dropping some eaves?
Yeah. Can I roll a perception check?
What are you trying to drop eaves on? The people that are like.
Oh no! I was trying to see if anybody was dropping eaves on.
Oh, dropping eaves on you. Okay.
Yeah.
roll me perception checks.
Nope.
These dice hate me.
No, 3.
I rolled a 4.
No, nobody seems to be paying attention.
Actually, technically, that's a 10.
Yeah, it's a busy church, and people are here for their own business. They don't seem to care why you're here.
Yeah.
All right, so anything else you want to discuss before the priest comes back out?
Yeah. So the reason I didn't want to say anything is we know somebody else is involved who can bring people back to life within a day. Mm-hmm. And who brings people back to life? Clerics.
Well, something about this isn't adding up
and
to
it
me.
Could be somebody else involved. But I've just been precautious.
Something about this doesn't make sense to me because the constabulary said that this has been, there have been multiple attacks on the marketplace, and they made it seem like sound like it was the same person each time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She lives on the other side of town.
But
why wouldn't the constabulary know the second in command of the biggest church in town?
That's also true. This guy's saying that up until 2 days ago, this person was a devout cleric. That doesn't make sense if these have been multiple attacks going on over... Did we get a time scale from the guards?
It's been 15 days since they started. The last 2 weeks, yeah. So there was the first attack, 5 days later, and then this one was 5 days after that. So I'm sorry. I guess that's 10 days.
Yeah.
10 days.
I guess I was thinking like secret underground cults within a church?
I mean, it's possible. But absolutely.
So wait, how many attacks have there been?
3.
Okay.
The one you foiled and then 2 before that.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, it kind of boggles. Like, I don't know cities. I did grow up in a city-ish, but it was a lot more agrarian. It seems weird to me, though, that why didn't the constabulary have a drawing ready if this had already happened 2 times previous? Like, you think the second type it happens, you've got posters up. But maybe not. Maybe it was just that freaky.
Are we suspicious about the constabulary now?
I don't know.
Also, I'll admit, I don't know the most about magic. My main understanding of magic users has just been that they're dangerous, and if you get into a fight with them, you want to take them out first. But I'm pretty sure there's a difference in the kind of magic that clerics use versus what wizards use.
Mm-hmm. Necromancy is someone like Matrix casts necromantic spells, but...
And during the fight, didn't they refer to themselves as a wizard or a mage or something?
Oh, did they?
I don't remember that. But that's just me not remembering.
Yeah.
You also, those spellcasters would know that when they are casting spells, there's no holy symbol involved, which...
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Did not use a holy symbol.
For sure. So I know a thing or two about the dead. Was the first time that we saw Philomena, the first time she attacked, was she a dead body being animated or was she alive?
You knew that she was alive.
Okay, that's good to know.
And she bled when you stabbed her.
So she had, in fact, been...
resurrected.
Raised, right?
And she was walking around, like, normally, when the demon was puppeting her, it was very clumsy, very... it seemed to struggle to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or do you think the demon gets the body somewhere where they get raised, but the demon stays inside the body at the same time?
Seems to be a good theory, given that we're pretty sure the demons can't raise the dead. So yeah. They have to just puppet it back to someone else.
Who's doing the actual raising. Because it seemed like the thought was that the demon was also a puppet of some sort.
Or a partner.
Or a minion, at least. Yeah, minion partner. Yeah. Interesting.
Did we have eyes on Philomena's body the entire time? Or did they take her down to...
You had eyes on it the whole time.
Okay.
Did we? I thought we went to get our rooms and then went back.
You did your rooms first and then went to the market. The fight happened there and you went straight to the constabulary.
Okay.
Yeah, we were never away from the body.
Okay.
Huh.
All right, so
it's possible there's some hinky shit going on at this North Temple, but let's just be cautious about it because things aren't adding up.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. So as you say that, the door opens and you see the priest come back out. He's got a kind of a somber look on his face as he sees the look of you guys. And he says, all right, well, let's go. Let's not keep High Priestess Castle Tenera waiting. He says, oh, by the way, my name is Aldim.
Aldim, I was just about to ask.
And your names are?
Kes.
Ula.
I'm Ron Shane.
I'm Tony. Hey.
All right, well, pleasure to make all of your acquaintances. I wish it was under better circumstances. Shall we proceed?
Absolutely. And you said he was a human man?
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of young looking, too. He's probably early 20s.
So acolyte.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So he leads you in the direction of the gate. As you guys start to walk closer, he reaches into his pocket and pulls out 10 balls of cotton and hands 2 to each of you. He says, "Trust me, you'll want this." And he takes 2 pair out and puts them in his ears.
Mm. Guess we'll do the same.
Yep.
I don't have what you guys have.
Oh, no.
I just have holes, so I guess I just do this.
Does anybody not put the cotton in their ears?
I don't have ears.
Right? Like, I fish stuff.
Yeah, I got, like, the little fins.
Right? Well, Shane, can I be on your shoulder again?
Yeah.
And I'll just sit there like this.
All right. So yeah. Does anybody not cover their ears or put cotton in their ears? Okay. So you all do that. Even with the cotton in your ears or the hands over the ears, like as you get closer to the gate, you feel just this warmth of just raw magic being leached off of it as you get closer to it. Whatever is powering this tear in reality is a massive source of arcane energy. And as you get closer to it, you just hear this low frequency bass like resonance that just sort of starts to thrum in your head, that gets louder and more intense, but thankfully muffled until you walk through the gate. Walking through the gate, there's just a brief moment where it feels like you're walking through Jell-O for just a second, as you just sort of visibly see like your limbs just sort of stretch out slightly further from you than you're comfortable to. And then just for the briefest of moments, and then you break through on the other side, and you find yourself like the barometric pressure drops as you're in a completely, you know, you're 50 miles away from where you just were, and the weather is different. It's a little cooler here. And as you walk away from the gate, and you know, as you get a couple hundred feet away from it, the priest takes his cotton balls out of his ears, and that sound has diminished.
That was unpleasant.
He says, yes, it never gets easier, but I don't know what we would do without it.
Do you think it feels different for people with arcane
ears?
Magics? No.
Oh.
Magics versus people that don't?
That's a good question. I'd say, if you're an arcane caster, you might be just a little more sensitive to, like, just how much magic is, like, coursing through this and being leached out of this thing at any given moment. Did you have a question?
Was it genuinely uncomfortable, or did it remind me of the deep sea?
No, it was genuinely uncomfortable. Like, maybe, like, there's a part of it that maybe just kind of reminded you of the sea, but, like, yeah, it was more like, it would be more like sticking your head in, like, a really strong current, and also the current was filled with, like, sand or silt or something that was just pelting your head or something, you know, like, it was...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my muffles out and hand them back to...
Oh, he says you can keep those.
I don't need them.
I don't want them. They've been in your ears.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. All right.
All right. So you walk a little ways away. You eventually arriving at another temple of Karmala in this dock area. You see a ship like making, you know, breaching through the gate and moving onwards towards the ocean. You see another gate coming the other, another boat waiting to come the other way once that boat is cleared. The dock traffic, this canal traffic being very carefully controlled. You see merchants coming out on the other side of the canal down the street. You see them as they get further away from it, you see people taking cotton balls out of their ears or taking, you know, muffs off of their ears as they are, you know, quite used to this process. And after a short amount of time, yeah, you make it to this Karmala temple, right there near the water. A very similar design. And the priest leads you inside of it.
Aldim, before we go in.
Yes.
You're the one who knows the high priestess. Do you think you should give her the news, or that we should give her the news?
Well, all I know is that she's dead. So I think perhaps...
I mean, like, break the news, and then we can... Obviously, we would elaborate.
I think we should all go together.
I agree. I think we should be there.
Well, I mean, we'd be there, but, like, actually say it. And, like,
mm-hmm. He says, I think what will happen is I will break the news to her, and then you maybe all can fill her in on the details that I'm not privy to.
Sure.
Yes. Sounds good.
So you walk into the temple. It's a little less busy on this side for whatever reason. Maybe there's more traffic on the other side at this time, but there's still probably a good 50 people. You see clerics wandering about. And Ula, you notice her first. Standing there talking with what looks to be a parishioner, you see somebody that looks like a dead ringer for your necromancer. But who's got, like, longer hair that is tied back.
Huh.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, too.
Like a doppelganger type of situation?
Or, I don't know, a twin?
Oh, just like real twins, like basic bitch twins? Oh.
Yes, like a basic bitch twin.
It's a magical world. The least exciting thing to be is
I was about to ask. I was going to be like, I have a twin. Evil twin. And I was like, that's a stupid question to ask. Don't ask that question, Amanda.
Aldim sees her as well and kind of looks to you guys. And who's been doing the most talking amongst you? Has it been Tomi?
Tomi.
For sure.
He looks at you, Tomi, and he just says, is this some sort of jape that you've pulled on us?
No. Definitely not. Give me a moment, please. And I'm going to go straight up to her.
Roll me a persuasion check, first of all.
Okay, I'm
going to assist. Can I help?
How are you helping?
I'm cute. No.
I mean, yes, Eula is objectively adorable. But
no, I would be like, oh my god, guys, I'm just expressing shock that oh my okay. god. Like I'll point it out to everybody else and be like, that's the her. What's going on?
Okay. All right, so go ahead and roll with advantage, tell okay. me.
I got pretty high, but I want to see if I get better with advantage. Okay, I got 23.
Nice.
Okay.
I got plus 6.
Well, he says, well, let's get to the bottom of this. And he follows you over, Tomi, as you all, I'm assuming the rest of you follow over too?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yes, hell yes.
So you walk over. Deudra is a, or not Deudra, sorry, Philomena is a halfling, much like the Negra you saw, very similar, longer hair, just a more gentle vibe about her than her twin, or doppelganger, if you will.
What is she doing at the moment?
She is chatting with somebody, as you walk over, you hear her say, you know, yes, Kamarla will, you'll protect them in their journey, and you will hear from them, I'm sure. And as she says that, she sees you all walking over to her with intent, and she looks at Aldim and she says, Acolyte Stamaroster, what brings you to my temple today with such a motley group? And she kind of says, one moment, she says to the parishioner, she says, I'm gonna talk to Acolyte Stamaroster here for a moment, if you don't mind. And the person says, oh, of course, and kind of walks off.
Insight on her face when she sees all of us.
Okay.
I want to roll that too.
18?
16.
Anybody else studying the lines of her face?
Not yet, but I will when certain information is revealed.
Nice.
Yeah, that's true.
With your 16 and 19, you get the idea that, like, she doesn't look surprised. She looks a little worried, but she's trying to play it off.
Okay.
She says, well, shall we find a alcove to talk in or something? Or?
I think that's probably best.
All right, so she walks over to, like, a kind of a little quiet little alcove away from people, and she says, Well, Aldim, what's going on? What can I do for you in this group? And Aldim's like, well, I actually don't have any idea anymore. So he kind of points to you, Tomi.
Yeah. What's that called? Can I call you Philomena or?
Yes, my name is Philomena Goldfound.
Okay. Well, Philomena, we found ourselves in a little bit of a strange situation. We had gone to the temple and there we met Aldim here. And
he nods.
We went there because we were looking to identify a person that we had unfortunately had. We're working with the constabulary, and unfortunately, we are asked to identify a person that they have in their had in their custody that who is now deceased.
When you say the word deceased, her face just sort of falls for a second. She says,
"They look.
It's Deudra, isn't it?
Any chance that's your
I'm
twin sister?
I'm assuming it's your twin sister.
She nods.
Okay. Yes. All right. I was trying to hope you it was oh poor dear. I was trying to hope you knew somebody that like stole your face. I'm sorry.
Weird sentiment, but also a good one. she says, "What did she do something wrong?"
Have you known her to be a practitioner of necromancy?
She wouldn't. She couldn't.
Does that seem like a genuine reaction?
Yeah. Roll me an insight check.
Can I re-roll mine?
I'd say this is a new insight check.
22.
Okay. Ooh, 22. Ooh, is really good, but I also got...
Nah, I rolled crap this time.
25!
Who got higher than a 20?
Me and
22.
Yeah, both of you realize like one of her ideals is the Carmala, like necromancy is like the worst thing you can do. It defiles a corpse. It's terrible. And then you also just get genuine crushing surprise that she could be involved in something like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
My sister's been troubled. Yes. But necromancy, I would think that's beyond the pale for her.
What do you mean by troubled?
She says, well, I don't know how to start, but, we come from a well-respected family in this community. When I say that we live on the Goldfound estate on Manor Hill, I'm not saying that to brag, but to give you an idea of our station. We were both really interested in becoming clerics of Carmala in our youth. And when we were kids, we got matching tattoos.
On your shoulder?
She nods. And so when we both opted to become clerics, I fell in love with the idea. And the longer she was here, the less she seemed to enjoy it. And so she dropped out of the program and began reading books, learning magic. She decided that she wanted to become a great wizard. But I never knew her to have dabbled in that foul sort of magic.
Does she say reading books with the same tone that she says that foul magic?
Absolutely not. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No. Just a...
I was like, ooh.
No. Just an uncritical observation of, you know, like, that's what she spent her time doing is reading books. Like, not that reading books is bad, but that's just, you know, what she was doing.
Mm-hmm. Is there any chance you know people that she's been friendly with lately, or
well, here's the...
like that?
She says... It does not surprise me that you come and tell me my sister is dead because I have found her in such a state twice before.
Oh, yeah, bitch,
we
no.
knew that as well.
Oh, so you've been the one resurrecting her.
I for sure say, oh, bitch, no.
She says, I arrived home at the estate 10 days ago and found my sister, what I thought was murdered. She says, lying in our backyard. I raised her from the dead like I want to do. Her wounds were fresh. When she came back, I asked her what had happened. And she said that, you know, she'd been attacked and she just wanted to forget about the whole thing. And I didn't have any reason not to trust her. And then 5 days later, after she seemed to recover from her bed rest, I came home and there she was dead again. So I raised her this time and I said, we need to go to the guard. We need, you know, and she confessed that she had some debts and that they had left her here as a message to the family that her debts needed to be paid. And so I told her we would pay it, whatever debts she was in. I didn't understand. But she insisted that we couldn't go to the constabulary.
I have a follow-up question. When you resurrected your sister, raised her, as a high-ranking cleric, How did you not notice that she is possessed by a demon?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, and she looks really like...
Yeah, I mean, all your passive insights pick up that, like, she is shocked by that information. A demon? Possessing yes. Dudra?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it did not seem to be... making her act in a way that she did not want to be acting, right, Chris? Is that right? Do we get that impression?
I mean, okay, so your interactions with her, she said things like, you know, she was yelling at her minions, defying things, calling them dunderheaded ninnies, telling you that she would kill you and make you her servants. It's hard to say, is that her or is that the demon?
I will say she did seem pretty desperate.
That is true.
Did she lean towards grandeur and telling other people what to do and commanding others?
She has always been a bit bossy, yes.
Okay, so that's not that far off then.
Oh, wait. What if she... Oh.
Nah.
Well, if you were the... Oh, I think I might realize it. He did try to make a deal.
Yeah, she made a deal.
Yeah.
There's a debt that she had to pay, and there's some sort of deal. So, that sucks.
Yeah.
Could she have wanted that money could not have purchased?
That's a good question, and we're trying to...
In life that you would want that money wouldn't buy for you.
I think she had to make an exchange to get out of the debts that she had. So much a monetary debt. I don't know what type of debt it was, but she had to make an exchange with this demon.
Money isn't going to make you the best wizard alive. It's not going to make somebody fall in love with you. It's not going to bring it could bring your name renown. That's definitely true. But like, there's lots of things you could make deals for that weren't, you know, monetary.
If I can ask, Philomena, you said your sister sort of changed vocational life goals. Did she seem to be showing aptitude with wizardry?
Yes, she was quite good at it. It came naturally to her.
That being the case, don't know that she would make a deal to become a great wizard if she already had the potential for it.
Or did she become a great wizard because she'd made the deal? When did she switch away from being a cleric?
She says some 10 years ago.
Well, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, and this only started 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Philomena, you seem like you've been straightforward and honest with us. I'm inclined to trust you. So I'm inclined to tell you the truth about what happened to your sister.
She says, I must know.
So I don't know if you've heard about attacks on the markets in the South City.
She says, I'm afraid I haven't. No.
Really? How?
10 days ago, the market stalls were attacked by a necromancer and her undead. The guards were able to subdue her, killed her, and overnight her body disappeared from the morgue. 5 days later, she came back with more undead, attacked the market again. The guards once again killed her, and her body escaped from the morgue again. Yesterday, 5 days later, another attack on the marketplace. We were there, the five of us, and were able to take care of it before anybody got hurt, thankfully, excepting your sister. Overnight, as we were keeping watch on the body, it animated unnaturally. And in the ensuing combat, her body was destroyed and a demon was released from it, which we then had to dispatch. So that's what we know. When she was in the marketplace, she was commanding her undead minions to search for something frantically. We don't know what it was.
Well.
But if it's any consolation... Her body has been incinerated by the guard, so she should now be at peace.
Yeah. I mean, that is good to know. I would not wish to raise her again and cause more problems. Well, this is quite a shock. I'm going to need some time to process this, but
I'm really sorry you had to hear about this like this.
Well, I appreciate you telling me. She says, it makes things make a lot more sense. Questions I had.
Are you okay to answer another question, or do you need?
Yes, of course.
Did you notice any like change in behavior in the last couple of weeks or month, or was there something she was?
I did, but I just attributed it to her being murdered.
What?
So the first change of behavior you saw was after the first time you raised her?
Yes. Yeah. I hadn't seen her for a week or so before then. And she was short with me. She was, I just chalked it up to, you know, coming back from the dead is an ordeal. She seemed anxious. And when she told me about the debts, I just assumed it was related to that.
And all she said was debts. She didn't say anything else.
I mean, that's all she told me, but she says there's one place that we might get answers.
What's that?
She's living in the guest house.
Your guest house?
Yes, our guest house.
Would you mind if we took a look?
She says, no, not at all. Better you than me, I think, actually.
Fair enough. Does she have any... Go ahead.
We might be asking the same question. Does she have any friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. High five.
She says she talked of other wizards, though I never met them. She never brought them around.
Okay. Thank you.
But perhaps you'll find more information there.
All right.
She says, let High Priestess Castle Tanira know, and I'll accompany you there.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So she leaves for a minute, talks to a woman in much nicer regalia that is kind of over talking to some other acolytes. And she will lead you over to her estate. And that's where we'll pick up next time. So.
Okay.
Yay.
Yay.
Going to the guest house.
Guest house.
Nice.
All right.
Interesting.
Mystery.
Good work on the mystery sleuthing. Hopefully it wasn't too frustrating.
No,
it was not at all.
It's always
doppelganger, not twins. What we're talking about.
It's not too late. I could audible and switch it up so it is a doppelganger.
I was like, ew.